Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Glad you could join us this morning. Astros lose last night 5-1. Weren't very competitive. Three hits all night long. Just no offense whatsoever. It was just terrible. And, a couple by Taylor Trammell, one hit by Paredes. That was it. And then, hey, Renell Blanco, after giving up 10 in Sugarland, he gets called up. Bagwell was on the call last night. I really enjoy him. He is really good on the call, on the color commentary. He was like, yeah, this dude gives up 10, figures he's called into the office. Okay, thanks. Give us your turn in all your stuff. No, you're going up to the big leagues. You'll be starting on Tuesday.
not a normal phone call after a 10-run game.
And he pitched well, gave him 3 hits, 3 walks, struck out 3, 4 innings, no runs. That was fine. That was, you know, the bullpen is worn out. Not in my that's the first time in how long that's
he hadn't pitched in over a week.
Yeah. He has, I mean, that's, and that, with this bullpen, how taxed it is that you've got one guy that you can't even put in there.
What a disaster this has been with Amai for the first year. You know, it started off like, oh my God, he's already hurt. And then he came back and thought, okay, well, you know what? He got some stuff. He's going to come along as the season moves on. Now he's a seldom used reliever.
Yeah.
He's a seldom used reliever, but Jim Crane's got this huge payroll. It's because he's got moves like this.
Yeah, I saw Dana Brown's making a world tour. He did something for MLB Network, and then I just saw another podcast he was on, and he was talking about his time. And he did say, yeah, you know, I wasn't perfect. He said, listen, we won the division. We got into the playoffs on the last day. We got 4 days left. We got into the playoffs. We didn't do much in the postseason, but I'm proud of my time. And then he said, you know, was I perfect? No, it's just some of the signings weren't great. I mean, that's an understatement. Uh-huh. The pitching decisions have just been a disaster this year. Just a disaster. Kaiwei Tang has been pretty good. He's been okay. He gave up 3 last night, which, you know, you give up runs. You're going to give up runs, whatever. But he's been okay. Peter Lambert's been good. He was somebody that you didn't want. You got rid of, but you had to bring him back to have another starter, and he turns out to be probably your best starter. He's been your best starter this year, all year long. And other than that, oh, what a disaster. Guys cut. Guys, you know, on the street that nobody's picking up. Mm-hmm. Guys you can't even use anymore.
And that's part of that payroll.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah. And you know, you've got to use it. And we talk about Jim Crane, and you've got a limited amount of resources, although you are 8th biggest payroll in the league. You do have a limited amount of resources, so you got to use them well. You can't make mistakes like this. You just cannot make these mistakes. He was on Foul Territory. Is that a MLB show? I think it
probably.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just can't make those mistakes. And Dana made those mistakes, and he said it was about as quick as it was when he was hired. Jim Crane walked in, said, "That's it. Thank you for your service, and we're done." And it was right after he even admitted that the 3-6 homestand against the Mariners, Angels, and A's was, you know, it was just too much. It was just too much to take. It was, you know, you walked in with a 2-game lead and you walked out with a tie for the division, even though Texas is playing about as poorly as you could. I think you were down after. You might have been a half a game down after that, after the 9 games. And anyway, it was. It's a disaster when you got to start a guy like Renell Blanco after he gives up a 10 spot in AAA. You are in a bad way. You're in a bad place.
It's what the, you know, people can call me whatever. I mean, this is. There's little ebbs and flows of seasons, but those little ebbs and flows don't don't override the consistency of a longer sample size. For a good 65% of the year, it has been a very mediocre team. And then the other 35% has been taken up by bad or pretty good. You know, when they've had their little win streaks or when they've been really bad, losing streaks. But most of it has just been really, they've told you who they are all year long. Just because you have a little win streak doesn't mean they're ready to go make a run in the playoffs. And unfortunately, this is just who they are. This is part of who they are. And part of who they are is, you know, streaky with pitching, streaky with hitting. And when they don't hit, they really don't hit. I mean, it's, you know, you're getting one hit against a second-time starter or a guy with an ERA in the eights, or you're getting three hits last night, or, you know, just recently the bats have gotten quiet again, and they just settled back into who they are. Yep. So they're back into kind of who they are mode. I mean, they'll win some, they'll lose some. They're 500. They're a 500 team. That's what they are. And they're not going to be different this year. They'll have a little run here, then they'll look bad. But this team is not good enough to do anything in a postseason. But you'd still rather be there than not be there. And I'd rather I'd rather us watch playoff baseball at 2:13 in the afternoon or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd rather Joe get a go out with a division championship. That's great. I'd rather be there than not be there. But I'm not going to call this team something it's not. I mean, I'm going to be realistic about the team, and they are what they are. And realistic about the team is they don't, like, there's not something that you see next year. Yeah, but next year everything should be better because all these young players are going to be a lot better. Maybe Cam Smith will be, but they don't have a bunch of young guys waiting to make the big step up, like not young, talented, you know, next up players. That's not what they have. So it's a big concern. You know, they've got a declining Jose Altuve.
There will be a lot of signings, and hopefully they'll be better.
It'll be the same thing it always is. Signings are never – it's Christian Walker, it's Jose Abreu, it's Paredes. Well, Paredes is part of a trade. But their signings never do a whole lot. They go try to look – look, they're treating it like Everton. They go try to find bargain basement players. Like, this is – it's true, Dell. They treat it like Everton. We're going to go sign some people. You're not going to sign the good ones.
But the Astros has never had a potential star walk into their building and say, you know what, I'd rather not play here.
I don't want to talk about this. It was the worst.
He was celebrating Balogun being an
Evertonian. How about Balogun yesterday?
You don't even understand. There was four reports. He's not. He's coming. It's a done deal. He can't. He failed a physical. Wait a minute. They're renegotiating a lower price now. He's coming. It's a done deal. Reports are some guy with 50 million followers, Fabrizio, somebody who supposedly
that's the guy.
Is in the pocket of – he's the Shams. Alec told me he's the Shams of soccer.
Oh, well, Alec told you then.
Yeah, well, Alec said – I said – he was showing me this. I said, who is this guy? He says, he's the Shams of soccer. If he says it, it's true. But he's also in the pocket of Chelsea. So he said everyone knows it. And sure enough – then they're like, Balogun's decided he doesn't want to play
at, after all.
At the
very,
like,
end.
Imagine the trade deadline is over, and at the very end, when you're like getting ready to make a trade, you've already traded away your players. Right. And you sold
Sean Elliott for Robert Horry.
Yeah, except that Sean Elliott decided he didn't want to play for the Rockets.
That's right. And yeah. So did Balogun.
No, I'm saying, is that what Sean Elliott decided? Because yeah. That's
no,
what Balogun
no, they,
decided.
It was a
medical.
Medical.
And Sean had – no, Balogun just decided,
well,
no,
Balogun
thanks.
Had a medical, and then because of the medical, they had to renegotiate the price.
Lower the price? No, thank
then,
you.
And
no.
Then he decided, wait a minute. You failed.
Camp.
You failed me on this physical. I spent all day here. In fact, I don't really want to be here.
Transfer window. Clam.
I'll go
closed.
Back. I'll go back to France.
Well, now we have nobody.
Yeah.
We've already we've moved all of our strikers. We've moved some of our best players.
Would you rather live on the Riviera or in Everton? Get out of here.
You want to be in Liverpool or in Monaco?
No, he's not going to live in that. They're going to get rid of it. Monaco's getting rid of him.
Well, too. Maybe. Maybe.
Well, they don't have a transfer
he's like,
now.
Look at where I'm living now and this instead this?
He spent a total of 12 to 14 hours there and was like, nah,
said nah.
I'm out.
Well, he ain't going to stay at Monaco. They're trying to get rid of him.
Well, sure, but he'd rather go someplace else than spend his time
somewhere,
in Everton.
Well, he's a fool because we're top of the table right
not
now.
Not that dump.
Yeah.
We're near the top of the
not
table.
Even, he's not even the big – he'd be like joining the Clippers. It's not even the big club in the city. There's a big club in the city, and then there's Everton. And he said, you know
terrible.
What?
It's like following the Astros. Good. Like following the Astros. The Astros are Everton right now.
Dell.
They're like, we're going to sign somebody. John just told me, we're going to sign somebody next year. Yeah. Who are we going to sign? Jack Grealish? Who are we going to sign? Christian Walker. You're going to get has-beens for lesser money, and then you hope they find them.
Christian Walker wasn't a has-been. You hope they find
the miracles of Christmas past. They never work out with the Astros.
Christian Walker wasn't a has-been. You can actually sign better players. Teams actually do that.
Just because the Astros have it doesn't mean you can't do it. So why are you thinking they're going to next year all of a sudden?
Because
the good players
the next GM will be better at it.
They look for discount players is what they look for.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they always
do. They spent money.
They look for discount players.
On Imai, it was... Even your cab driver didn't know who Imai was.
Yeah,
and you gave him all that money.
What are you talking about? They got a discount player.
No, they didn't.
That's who he was.
Okay.
They got a guy who Japanese people didn't even know. What are you talking about? This is the exact thing I'm talking about. They got a guy who even Japanese people are like, who? Who? Who's this guy? Oh, he's just, never mind. He's just a middle reliever who doesn't play. That's what they signed. They signed Christian Walker's been a disappointment. That's what they do. When they open the checkbook up, it's not for real high-end players. It's for guys that you think, all right, we can get a good value here. They value shop. That's what they do. And that's fine, but every once in a while, you got to go get real. $54 million a discount.
He's a discount player, John.
He's not a discount talent player.
They thought he was good, and they did a poor job evaluating.
Yeah,
they did a poor job evaluating all the guys they signed.
Everyone else evaluated him, and no one thought he was a big money guy. He's a discount player. That's my point.
How do you know?
Because nobody else signed him.
Well, nobody else signed Ohtani either. But the Angels did a good job, didn't they?
What does Ohtani have to do with this scrub?
What are you talking about? At some point, you sign a contract, and nobody else signed you.
The Astros weren't in the mix for any of the good players. None of the good teams on the West and East Coast were in on Imai, were they?
How do you know that?
Well, look how much he went for versus them. Everyone said, oh, they got a good contract.
Maybe they didn't offer as much as the Astros offered.
They got a good contract on Imai. Yeah, of course.
A $54 million deal.
Yeah, over 3 years. That's not a big money deal for Japanese pitchers. By Japanese pitcher standards, that's not a big deal. And everyone thought, ooh, wow, Astros got a pretty good deal. We're surprised we get a Japanese guy. And then that one guy who follows Japanese pitching says, and what did he say?
Your cab driver?
No, the guy who writes about Japanese pitching said, this guy is not who people think he is.
I think
Astros fans are going to be disappointed.
He was right. There was even a report that inside baseball, people didn't think as much of Imai
as the media was talking about.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And the guy said, he is not who the Astros think he's going to be. And that guy was right. And that's what they get. Nobody's ever who you think the Astro fans think they're going to be. Christian Walker, Abreu. The additions are never, if they're signing, they're never who the Astros fans think they're going to be. So I don't really exactly count on that to be our savior next year. Is some signing of guys who are, you know, have been disappointed or maybe headed past their prime. That doesn't excite me at all. Not one bit. Give me a minor league to cheer for. And if you don't get Jeff Leno in here, I'm going to be super pissed off. Super pissed off. I've been guaranteed Jeff Leno. I better get my ass some Jeff Leno. I can tell you that. And I don't know why he'd want to come here, honestly. For what? You know there's a cap on spending, number one. And number two.
He's always had a cap on spending.
Number two, you got to literally start over in your minor leagues.
Like, he's always had a cap on spending.
Right? Yeah, but it's a whole lot easier when you have young players, John, that are still ascending. You got club control. Who's your club control young players? He's got to build that up from scratch again.
Yeah.
They're going to have to pay him so much guaranteed
money.
Stop
trying to talk him out of coming, okay?
No, hey, don't come here, Jeff. Go somewhere else.
I already told Jeff yesterday.
I know. I don't know what you're doing. Go somewhere else, Jeff. This isn't where you want
to
be.
I mean, if you're not listening to me, Jeff, listen to Lance, an impassioned Astro fan. I'm kind of neutral. I watch them. They're the team in town, so I want them to do well. This is an impassioned Astro fan telling you to do something else, Jeff.
You already know what you have to do. This isn't a secret.
Hey, he's still got Yordan. He's got Altuve. Of course,
He's got Altuve. Wow, what a selling point.
Well,
you've got an aging and slowing down Jose Altuve.
Slowing down?
Yeah.
Dell, can we play that, what I sent you?
I don't know why you want to play that.
I don't.
It's a slip of the tongue by a White Sox announcer who said Altuve was something. that's not complimentary.
It's not complimentary. It's ugly, and he should be.
What did he say?
Well, you want to hear it?
Yeah, I hope it's a slur, and this guy gets canceled.
I guess it'd be considered a slur.
He
now.
He called him slow. Yeah.
Well, a version of that, but
yeah,
he used
in
the
a
word.
Way, in a way, he said that.
John is a rabble rouser. I don't know why he
is
wants
a
to
rabble rouser.
I don't know why he wants to hear.
He kind of made me mad this segment, acting like the Astros are going to be good next year.
They'll sign a couple guys. They'll be fine.
I know. He knows that's a lie.
They're
going to
sign a couple of guys
and
be fine.
You lie to Houston's face. That's what I don't like is you lie to their face. And, you know, there's some people out there who are simple.
Oh, no.
Who are just
if you,
John
if you
said
actually
it,
signed
it's got to be
good,
true.
If you signed some good players, maybe you'd be better.
When did they sign good players?
They've signed a lot of good players over the years.
Recently?
Tell us. Goodness.
No, that's why you need Lou Noback.
How recently? When's the last good player they signed? Can you name the last three?
The last, oh, I don't know, Justin Verlander, was he any good?
They traded signed. For him.
They traded for him.
And then they re-signed
no,
him.
No, I'm not counting re-signing an all-star. Who's the last free agent that they signed? Where they,
outside
that was a good
free
signing.
Agent.
The last good free
agent. Oh,
the whole
break.
Bullpen to click put together.
He's not
so
going to be able to
take. 4 years ago?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But that's when you won a
and,
title.
And guess,
you
what?
Good players.
And guess what?
And guess what? The
one
guy
year
who did all
wonders.
That, get out of here.
1 year wonders. How long does that last?
Are you
one
kidding
year.
Me?
You said 1 year
wonders. 1 year wonders. I mean, that's not signing good free agents. I'm talking about some guys who are going to be in your lineup every
pieces.
Day. From yeah. Or on the border of foundational pieces. Who are those guys?
Well, all I know is that White Sox announcer needs to be sanctioned.
What did he say?
Here it is. I mean, John, I don't know why he wants Altuve called this for people
it
to
was,
hear it.
It's terrible.
There's a lot
why.
Of people in Houston who, you know, are watching
maybe.
Space City Home Network who never heard this. And now look at you. Here it is.
Tristan Peters is there. And Altuve retired.
Oh, my God. That guy tried so fast. Retired. We're
terrible.
Not letting him get away with that.
You can't let him get away
we're
with that.
We're not letting him get away with that.
Yeah.
We're not letting him get away with that. First the buzzers and now this. The slander on Jose Altuve's
is
name
that,
is impossible.
Is that terrible?
Terrible.
Our guy, our Hall of Famer.
Our Hall of Famer, and that's what you call him?
That's what?
You
look,
got those
the way
slurs
you're
on him?
A professional play-by-play man shouldn't say this, but let's be
you know,
clear.
It used to be, here's the thing. It used to be you didn't say that word.
No.
Now the word's come back. Everyone just uses it willy-nilly about anybody they want to. That just tells me he uses that in his everyday lexicon about baseball players when he's talking to
I'm
friends.
I'm going to ask you guys to think, and the listening audience to think, when Altuve commits another one of his base-running errors, have you used that word?
No, I haven't.
At least mentally? No. Maybe you didn't say it out loud.
No, but...
Well, I
but,
say things like this,
but,
dummy
but,
did
but
it again.
But how many times did I call Jabari low-key?
Well,
a lot.
Well, that's because allegedly Kevin Durant
but he
called
didn't
him that.
You just called him that for a missed shot. Like, it was everything.
Right.
Just because you could, because you had a new toy.
Yeah. He's like,
you just had a new toy to play with, and you
true.
Kept pulling it out like, same toy I'm getting out of the toy box. Low-key, Kevin Durant gave me this for Christmas.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for the gift that keeps on giving. you want
sure
a present?
Jabari,
how about
sure Jabari thanks you, too. Like, great.
Great.
Way to go.
And now Altuve. Dang it.
That's terrible.
You know, you want a real gift? You got to go to Zadig Jewelers.
They'll get you a real one, not one of these fake gifts. I mean, they've got real gifts for her. I'll give you an example. You know, it's not going to be – we're already in September. We're not going to – it's not far. Christmas is not far around the corner. We're in September right now. You know how fast the football season goes. Before you know it, it's going to be the day after Thanksgiving, that Black Friday, and you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, Christmas is right around the corner. I got to start thinking of gifts. Did you know that Zadig will – they'll have the perfect gift for you. And really, it's for birthdays. It's for sweet 16s. It's for anniversaries. It's for any occasion. Zadig Jewelers can find the perfect gift for you. If she's looking for earrings or if you want a diamond pendant, you're looking for an engagement ring, you're looking for something that really speaks to, you know, the birth of a child. It could be a push gift is what they're called. They can do something special with the birthstone of your child when the child is born. So, I mean, I'm just telling you, whether it's luxury watches or the most impressive tennis bracelet you've ever seen and all points in between, they've got something waiting for you at Zadig Jewelers. And those gifts can't miss. They don't miss. And they always bring about memories that are going to last a lifetime. It's Zadig Jewelers. They're at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. They've been in business for about almost five decades now. And they are waiting for you at a beautiful 28,000 square foot location at Zadig.com.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John.
Yes.
David Whitlock, a.k.a. DJ Lockdown, says, it's got me thinking, I wonder what Dell calls you to in his mind after a show, a segment, or just every day in general. One could assume it is more than what the White Sox announcer said.
Trash-ass Lance, we know that.
Well, that's in the phone, but I don't think about that every day. People are chiming in. Yeah, we didn't mention Josh Hader. That's their best signing over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Big money signing.
And then it's
And then there's nothing else.
No one else can give us an answer.
Daryl did the, he's like, it's a giant cliff after that.
Yeah, there's nothing else. What do I think? I don't really think about them at all. So that might be more insulting that I don't consider them.
That's not true. He thinks about us.
No. I generally try not to because it makes me sad. The thing about you two, because nothing about you is good. So I try to expunge you. Like when 10:08 hits, when my show starts, because you guys can never get to break on time, you guys are dead to me.
Yeah, I actually do believe that.
I do believe that,
too. I do believe that. We have, did you see the guy get hit by lightning? I've gotten that sent to me about 1,000 times now. See the guy walking down the street? And a ring camera captures, he's holding the umbrella, and lightning hits him, and he goes, oh, 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 can I come inside your house? The lady goes, oh, my God, yes, come in. Oh, you got to find that video. He keeps making this noise, which I give him a pass on because he got hit by lightning.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get hit by lightning, and he's walking around like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just had to take a lightning strike. So I'll give him a pass.
It's a good reason to be making noises.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good reason.
No, that's...
All right, let's get to Caserio. Nick Caserio met the media yesterday. We hadn't heard from him since the trade, since a lot of stuff. So there was a lot to talk to Nick Caserio about. The two things that came out of it, a CJ extension and what he said about Kalen Rutledge. So let's do the Rutledge first. This is interesting.
This is what I heard in week. I heard this in week two of camp. I shared it with you, John. I heard it from a source that said he's the best.
What it means to the team. Is it good or is it bad? Here is Nick Caserio talking about Kalen Rutledge.
But in the end, we feel like Kalen's right now, you know, the best left guard. I mean, honestly, he's probably one of our best. He's probably the best offensive lineman that we have. Glad he's here. You know, so if he has to go play center at some point, I'm sure he could do it. But we feel like right now the best spot for him is a left guard, you know, with Evan at center, and then with that at right guard. Just changed probably since he's been playing football. So it was definitely something that we liked about him. I think from a football standpoint, the majority of his snaps were at right guard. So that's kind of had to evaluate. Now we've moved over to left guard, and he's kind of assimilated without issue there. I think there's some things pass protection-wise that, quite frankly, showed up negatively. Like when you could look at some of the one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl and some of his tape, and some of it was a little bit more technique-related, but he's very coachable. He wants to do it the right way. He can absorb a lot of information, and he shows up on a tape. I mean, D'Amico shows highlights and, you know, we'll practice every day, and he shows up on the tape finishing plays clean, not being dirty, but going right to the line, which is what you want to see.
He said, he went on to talk about how he and Max Crosby went at it a little bit, and, you know, he's not afraid to step up and go after whomever, one of the best in the league. And he won't back down to anybody. He also went on to talk about what Landry Locker had asked him, you know, who he talked to before the draft, and he said that's all he had talked to is Pop, Cole Popovich. He really hadn't talked to Nick Caserio. And Nick Caserio answered that. He said, yeah, if there's issues with a guy, then I got to talk to him. But there were no issues whatsoever with this guy. You know what the kind of kid he was. You know, he's solid. He's a maniac. He loves football. So there really weren't any issues to go through with him. He said, yeah, I didn't need to talk to him. And he said we lean on our assistant coaches quite a bit for, you know, I'll lead on Rod for the defensive lineman or I'll lead on Cole for the offensive lineman. Yeah, it's a team thing. So, but that is pretty high praise. Is it a good thing?
Now, he hasn't played an NFL game yet.
Yes. Is it a good thing that a guy who hasn't played a snap in an NFL game is your best offensive lineman?
I think it's okay in this scenario. You have older, you know, you have Ed Ingram who has not had a big NFL career. Braden Smith is hurt and is, you know, later in his career.
Starting on the IR, by the way.
No, I don't. Yeah. That's now we know why they kept 12, because they had to make a determination. So now he's on the IR.
Well,
you know, this is a guy who's missed six games a year for three straight years. Guys, injured players stay injured.
Yeah, right.
Please, 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 please remember that so we don't have to relive this.
Well, he better get better because Trent Brown is an injury.
He's an injured player himself. But Braden has become a big injury factor.
So
injured players stay injured.
They switch in and out. And Nick Caserio went on to talk about Jared Patterson instead keeping Jake Andrews instead of Jared Patterson. He said, If Braden wasn't hurt, then Jarrett's probably on the team. But they needed to have a tackle, and so Jarrett was the odd man out, and Jake Andrews has played a lot.
Well, and they traded for Nathan Thomas.
Yeah, right.
So Evan Brown, you know, that was interesting. In week two, everyone's like, what the hell? During Raiders, you know, scrimmage, like, Evan Brown's a center, and Wyatt Teller is out, and they've moved Keelan Rutledge to guard, which is his college position. And here's the simple fact. Don't name over game. A lot of people got super excited about, we must get Wyatt Teller. We must get Wyatt Teller. And Wyatt Teller comes and can't break into the lineup. So it happened. He's not the same guy.
Well, Braden Smith as well.
Not the same guy. Braden Smith was having his problems. Right. I mean, you know, there's no guarantee Braden Smith is going to start. So he could have, but there's no guarantee. There's a reason they were available. Offensive lines are hard to find. Good offensive linemen are hard to find. They were made available by, for one, Wyatt Teller, a bad Cleveland Brown team, who also just lost Joel Bitonio to retirement. So he came here. They didn't think he was as good as they thought he was going to be. And frankly, they thought the combination of Evan Brown at center and Keelan Rutledge was better than Wyatt Teller and Keelan Rutledge. Keelan, of course, playing center. Good depth. You've talked
about
the depth,
John. Keelan Rutledge is out of position there
at center.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that it was fine. I don't think it had anything to do with Keelan being out of position, though.
Well, it helps his snaps that he's back at his natural. It helps that he's back at his natural position.
Well, I think it's just a simple fact that the combination is better. Period. If Evan Brown was a legitimate, I mean, he's got the size of a guard. But I think he eventually will be an NFL center. But you just never know. They could just draft a center next year.
I think
the
Texans could. Offseason is a lesson to all those people who had this type of energy.
That's how a white man runs a football.
They had a lot of that energy about this. Wyatt Teller, Braden Smith, yeah! That's a lesson to all of you guys.
Wait a minute. That's how a white man runs a football energy?
Yeah, they had that energy.
Yeah, that energy. I think it was just
our guys
excited
like
about names
and Hunt
and
not Gucci bags.
Right. Okay. I was part of that energy.
I know.
I didn't say, and they signed Christian Walker. That's fine. Christian Walker's our new backup left guard. Okay. That's
Christian
who you got.
Walker.
Yeah. They signed Christian Walker.
Or Wyatt Teller's Christian Walker.
Or a Jose Abreu. Oh,
just the lesson.
Maybe a Jose Abreu.
Just because they fit the profile of what you think an offensive lineman should look like. By the way, Rutledge probably fits that profile more than anyone. Yeah. So you got one of them. But relax, everybody. Just let the guys go win the job.
Yeah. I've noticed, too, Sione Takitaki, is that who it was? Who he had this whole video where she's from Texas and he's dancing and his wife, because they're all excited. They're going to Houston Texans. We're all excited. Literally the next day he goes in the IR with an injury,
mm-hmm.
a day after practice. Wyatt Teller had this big thing where his wife was all excited and he's excited. And look, I love having him here as depth. I was hoping he would be the starter. He wasn't, but it is always a good reminder that when an offensive lineman is available, they're probably not the guy that you remember. Like, you remember the name, but the game has slipped off.
Well, and he lost his job in Cleveland.
You know, the change of scenery is not usually a thing for offensive linemen because theirs becomes more physical than it is like a mental block. They physically don't do it well.
Did y'all see the – okay, you got a break. But did y'all see the line for merchandise at Reliant?
For the new stuff?
The new stuff?
Yeah.
People love
the new stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, around the block and around the block again. Are you people – how hot was it? And you all are out there waiting in line?
No, it wasn't hot yesterday.
It was a little cooler than
In fact, we had a tropical storm come in. I didn't get an inch of rain.
We were fearful that it might take out the transmitter.
It was the day before because they posted it 22 hours ago, so it would have been the day
before. Well, but in the east, the radar showed a bunch of rain to east. It showed me getting hit by rain.
The future radar
showed me getting hit by rain, and none of it materialized. My burnt-ass grass is going to stay burnt.
Well, we're scheduled to get rain for the next 8 days.
Sure we are. I'll believe it when I see it. I hadn't had rain for like 36
days. Don't worry. I've got a tea time Friday. It'll rain.
Yeah.
All right. We got a break. 713-780. We're going to be at East River 9, too, by the way.
On Friday,
and come on out and
see away.
On Friday morning. All right. Don't go anywhere. He is at ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. This segment is brought to you by Damaris Barbecue's Brisket Tacos.
Okay, bring it in.
Crunchy, a little sweet, meaty, cheesy. Dana used to call it the best barbecue Mexican restaurant in the world. Their fajitas are great. Their quesadillas for parties, they bring the grill out and they make the quesadillas right there. They're excellent. They got barbequeso at the bar. It's really, their barbecue is really good.
Where's the sweet coming from on the breakfast tacos?
I don't know. They've got a sweet sauce. They got a sweet barbecue sauce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, they use a barbecue sauce. Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. On the brisket tacos, yeah, they're really good, really good.
So I'm gonna say something. McCool and I had this. My buddy was in town for a couple days, and he brought something up on Friday that I've thought about for a long time. And we were talking about Houston Texans uniforms, new uniforms, and I sent him the video that the Texans released. Did you see the video, John?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dell, you saw the video, I assume. First ever white helmet. So, everything with the Texans, since they've kind of figured out their branding and social media strategy, when they went from being super corny to being more, you know, hip in the city, they have leaned into the Houston rap scene. The Houston rap scene is a lot older. Right. What the marketing that the Astros do and that the Texans do specifically, and the Texans specifically, it all leans back. Now, it's very popular in the city of Houston still, but it all goes back to late 90s to like 2005, 2006 hip hop in Houston. There's nothing really current. And so everything is still slabs, elbows, grills, like everything. It's like culturally, our Houston culture that we're known, like that is the mainstream Houston identity culture for our sports teams, is from a time in Houston that is over 20 years old. We still have, you know, Paul and Bun and Slim come and perform at halftime of games, and they do a great job. They look great. They still sound great. They do a great job. It's just, Mook brought up the point, don't you feel like at some point they want to create their own identity instead of leaning on, let's just do candy-painted cars, and let's do elbows on wheels, and let's do, like, it's the same thing every single year that dates back two decades. And that's the Texans. And the Astros have done it too, but that's the Texans. And I thought, you know, it's not inaccurate. That's not an inaccurate saying. Like, what is Houston? So Houston was really known for that, that kind of hip-hop and, like I said, late 90s into the 2000s. Some of us go all the way back to the Ghetto Boys, the original one where Willie D was wearing a University of Houston Cougars shirt on the cover, and Scarface was also known as DJ Action or Brad, but that's another point. And unfortunately, you know, shout out to our guy Bushwick Bill, who's no longer with us, but we do have a picture of him wearing a John, Lance, Raheel, and Dell T-shirt that he came and got at Prime Poker. I don't know how it happened. I just know we were at Prime, and Bushwick Bill was there, and he was wearing our T-shirt. That's all I know. And somebody took a picture. Yep. What are we known for now? What is the city of Houston like culturally? Is there anything, you know, like visually? You have the bridge for San Francisco, Golden State, the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, you have different culture. The Big Apple, of course, the Big Apple's forever. It's been the same.
We're known for cowboy stuff.
Well, yeah, but that's not really accurate. We're not really cowboys.
Well,
that's really more
the rodeo, which
we have the rodeo where people cosplay.
I mean,
if you want cowboy stuff, you go to Republic Boot Company.
I'll tell you this though. One of the reasons that I was there when Greg Grissom was the president, obviously he was there with Jamie Roots. I think Mike Timone came in, and I really, Hannah probably had a lot to do with it.
It's, by the way, it's Toman. It's Toman, just so you
Toman.
Know. Yeah.
Mike, oh, I was
not Damone. He's not selling
Timone
tickets.
Timone and Pumbaa.
Okay.
It's Toman. Mike Toman. It came in, and he was cooler.
Yeah.
And I mean, even Wendy saw it. She said, this guy is younger. He is hipper. The Texans are trying to do a facelift. They're trying not to be, you know, football time in Houston anymore.
Good.
They're not trying not to be corny. You know, the red, white, and blue and all of that stuff. I think Hannah probably had a big role in it. But they are trying to be a lot cooler. Look at putting up the H, the chains.
It's all worked. It's all been brilliant.
I think they are cooler now. And I think it's showing with that line that was around the block.
Yep. Well, they're winning, too.
For gear.
They're winning.
I never, ever, ever, ever saw anyone with Texans gear. Astros gear, yeah. Every once in a while, some Rockets gear. But you don't see anybody wearing Texans gear because it's not cool. But they're trying to get it cooler. And I think these unis might get them, you know, this white look might be a little bit cooler.
They are a cooler team. It helps when you have cooler players, when you win and all that stuff. Look, they were, people may remember it differently, but they had a, you know, the Bulls on Parade stuff with Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against the Machine is not from Houston, and their music is all sociopolitical. So it's like, I know for a fact that Texans didn't really engage with the lyrics necessarily, but that was something that was different. Right. And it was cool for 2 years and then it was gone because then it didn't hold up. It didn't last. This looks very sustainable. And they have a Will Anderson like this is. Yes. Mike Toman came in and did a wonderful job of the obvious, frankly, is just saying lean into Houston's culture and get away from what you think. You know, this idea that it's somehow Clay Walker every year. That's not it. That's not who Houston is. And they did a great job. It is just an observation, and it is interesting that culturally we're a very multicultural city. We're the most diverse city in the country. When we are, that's literally demographically speaking is accurate. More diverse than New York is, for example.
Listen,
we don't really have anything other than slab culture and, you know, the Houston hip hop scene from, as I mentioned, about 98 to about 2006. That kind of represents all of our sports franchise. We don't really have anything else we turn to, I don't think, marketing-wise.
So I didn't grow up, obviously, but I remember the Love Your Blue days, and I was a fan because of the way that they played. And I think now the way that the Texans play, everybody was a fan of the 85 Bears. The Ravens have been, you know, ferocious defensively. Pittsburgh was always this way that you play is, I think, giving Houston a much cooler look in that it's a much more interesting team because of how ferocious it is. And I think that is something that the nation is catching up. It's finding out about this team, and it's cool how I want to watch the Texans play because of the way that they play defense and the way that they, you know, they go after people. Listen, the NFL was made. You can say all you want about CTE and all of the Ronnie Lott's and the Raiders of the past, but the NFL with Chuck Cecil taking people's heads off. The NFL used to promote the violence of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It used to. That's what made the NFL great, was the violence of the game. And now the Texans play violently, and that is still very attractive out there nationally. And so I think the Texans are cool, are much cooler now because of the way that they play football.
Yes. And that the violence thing, I mean, a lot of that, I'm sure the NFL's like, don't show those huge hits because of concussions and CTEs and ALS and, you know.
Except it's still something that people want physical, to see. As
yes.
much as you take it away, people love the hard
hits. Well, they're not taking away the hard hits. They're taking away the concussive. They're trying to take away concussive hits. The hard hits are still part of football. And everybody that watches the Texans from the football world, people who are used to seeing other teams play, tell you the same thing. This team is
different. Yep.
It is there's a level of functional legal violence that goes on that is unlike other teams play with.
Yep.
And that's that is football. That's when you know you have a defense. That's how the Ravens used to play. That's how the old school Steelers used to play.
Yep.
That's how the Bears used to play. Like those defenses you remember for being killers, the Seattle Seahawks.
I remember Air Coryell. You remember the Smurfs, you remember the Rams. The Kurt Warner Rams.
Greatest show on turf. Yeah.
But you remember defenses. And this defense.
Dominant defense.
Is memorable.
Yeah, dominant defense is memorable. But
the Texans win it all, this defense will go down in history.
But I still remember the great offense of Jeff Fisher with McNair and Eddie George and a snot stash where he was in the cold and his snot froze into his mustache and he kept running those. You know, the great Jeff Fisher offenses in Tennessee where it was 3.1 yards a carry and you get 40 carries a game.
Don't
oh, man, was that fun to watch.
All right. We got a break. 713-780-3776. Anything that we've talked about that you want to chime in on, you're more than welcome. But right now, talk a little M&J.
M&J Electrical Supply over. We're talking about Houston, you know, and the history of Houston. How about M&J Electrical Supply? They've been in business for over 3 decades now. And Jeremy Coker is the owner, and he does an amazing job of making sure that when you are, and I'm really speaking to electrical contractors and general contractors and maintenance engineers, project managers, even construction and demolition guys, when you're looking for new equipment, when you're looking for brand new equipment, and you know when you're waiting on parts, that's a lead time that you can't fade because these are jobs, there's other jobs that you need to get to, and you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. Or you start other jobs, you can't get back to this job. Now, that customer is upset that you can't get back on their job in time. You can't afford lead times. That's why you need somebody like M&J right here in Houston, located at Steuben Airline near I-45 North and West Little York, because they have all of that equipment. They have all of it ready to go for you, brand new. They can get it to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And on top of that, they have refurbished equipment. They can come take out your old electrical that you're going to remove, give you top dollars instead of scrap prices, and then they refurbish it and offer it with a one-year warranty. So this is a great opportunity also for you to manage your costs, improve your profits, and still get great equipment that is refurbished by M&J Electrical Supply. This is available to you if you need electrical equipment. You probably already know about M&J. If you don't, the number to call is 713-699-5055. That's 713-699-5055. 30 years of excellence, M&J Electrical Supply.